Now, I thought we'd check in now, Fletcher, with our great mate Chris Anstey. There's so much going on in basketball at the moment. Mm. The Kings' magnificent victory for them in the NBL. And things are hotting up in the NBA. He's on the line right now. Hello, Chris.
Gentlemen, yeah, it's certainly been a big week. The Kings were far too good, and Tasmania finally found the team they couldn't get over the top of. But congratulations to the Sydney Kings. They put together a team that, for the second half of the year at least, looked as close to unbeatable as I've seen in a long time. And they're well coached, they're well put together, and they deserve that win. I thought they were the best team in the league for the second half of the year.
Amazing to think Chase Buford's only 33 years of age and what he's done with that team in just a short space of time, that huge run they had at the back end of the season, 17-year drought, which is really too long for a team as big as the Sydney Kings. But the fact is that a team with that sort of reputation, Chris, for them to win the league, it does wonders for the game in this country.
Yeah, it does. And credit to their fans for showing up. 16,000 people on a Wednesday night in Sydney or out of Sydney is a huge effort. But to your point about Chase Buford, I loved how animated he was. I don't think he cared what people thought of him outside of the group. And, you know, he had his flare-ups, he kicked a sign, he did a few different things. He got on the other side of the referees, but I don't think anyone ever doubted his intent and his loyalty to the group. And I think he certainly brought that group together because they did have a lot of talent, and sometimes it sounds like an easy thing to do, but it's not easy to get talent to be cohesive and play together. He did a great job of that.
All right, Chris, let's get over the NBA. We're down to the final four teams. I'm not going to ask you for a tip, but I want you to let us know. Let's go Miami v Boston. What was your thoughts?
Miami were really, really good today. Defensively, they were outstanding. But I'll tell you what, if I'm a Boston Celtics fan, they led comfortably at halftime, and it was almost a scheduled loss that they were missing two, you know, Marcus Smart and Al Horford, two key rotation guys. Miami just ran over the top of them. I still think, especially with Marcus Smart back, they get better defensively, plus they've got that little extra scoring power. They might just be able to score the ball a little bit more consistently than Miami moving forward. So certainly, if I'm a Boston fan, I'm still confident, and I still have this suspicion that Boston might get over the top of Miami in this series. So there's a tip for you anyway.
Okay.
Jason Tatum's my man. He's a hell of a player.
He's been incredible. And you know what? He's defending as well. He scores it as well as nearly anyone in the league. And you know, the only guy he mightn't score it better than that's left is Luka Doncic. And, you know, what wasn't he incredible? That was one of the most methodical,
dominant,
impressive game sevens I've ever seen. He just, geez, if he had a big on him, he'd pick him apart from the perimeter. If he had a small like Chris Paul on him, he'd walk him down to the block, and he was too big. It was just absolutely surgical the way he took the Phoenix Suns apart, and it was just a pleasure to watch.
Was your old team too, the Mavericks? Are you a Mavs fan, Chris?
I still am. And look, they do a really good job of staying in touch. And I'll tell you what, if they stay in touch with someone like me, who was there for a couple of years and never heard of again, they must be doing an even better job of the guys who spent a lot of time there. But no, they've been fantastic and love the city, and the club's been great. So, yeah, I still do barrack for the Mavs.
This will be a huge game on tomorrow. Your Mavs against the Warriors. They've had a nice break too, haven't they, the Warriors, after beating the Grizzlies?
Yeah, they have. And they weren't as impressive as many would have liked to have seen. They're title favourites, but I just loved the methodical way that the Mavericks went about it. I see them running double teams at Steph Curry all night long and getting the ball out of his hands and trying to make it hard for him to get it back. They'll dare other people to beat them. Whether or not that's sustainable over four games, I don't know. But what Luka won't have is a big slow guy switching out onto him like he did with DeAndre Ayton against Phoenix. So I think he'll have an adjustment, but I'll tell you what, at the same time, there's a lot of small guards at Golden State that Luka can take advantage of inside. So can't wait to see what it looks like. Again, I don't think many people, myself included, expected the Mavs, with the supporting cast that they've got this year, to be in the conference finals. But now that they're here, we've seen what the blueprint is, and yeah, it's pretty sustainable. It can work against anyone.
And, of course, us Aussie basketball fans love to see Aussies in action in the NBA. This is great for Josh Green too, isn't it, Chris?
You know what? It sure is. And whether or not he's buried on the end of the bench as he has been so far, just to be around it and experience it is something that very few Aussies have been fortunate to do. And it's one thing I was not even close to it. I would have loved to have been able to experience an NBA final series, what it's like to play in a 7-game series and not just sit like we are and evaluate from the outside looking in to really try to understand my opponent. So he'll grow a lot from this. And, you know, one thing I said when he got drafted, he was drafted at the same number I was. He went to the same team I was. My hope for Josh, especially on a team that's more successful than I was there, is that he gets to spend a lot longer there than what I did, because I just think he's got this opportunity to call Dallas home and to be successful with a superstar like Luka to play alongside.
Chris, can I ask you this about the NBA lottery, just quickly? So Orlando got the number one pick for the NBA draft in June. How many teams go into this lottery? Is it all teams, or they break it up?
The teams that don't make the playoffs.
And okay,
then however far, whatever their final position is, increases their odds of having the number one pick. But by description, it's still a lottery, so it doesn't guarantee you anything. They've tried to eliminate teams tanking towards the end of the season by not guaranteeing them the number one spot as they have in the past. It is a lottery. The Orlando finished right towards the bottom, and the odds were the highest percentage chance of getting the number one pick, which was only 14%. So you can see how it really is a lot more balanced than what it used to be.
And Oklahoma City gets second pick. So who would you like to see them draft to complement our man, Josh Giddey?
I think it'll be Chet Holmgren, the 7-foot kid out of Gonzaga. OKC don't have a genuine big. They don't have a rim protector. They don't have a guy that Josh can throw little alley-oop passes to and finish with a dunk. So granted, he might be a year or two away from being really successful in the NBA, but I think they'll go Chet Holmgren. I think Jabari Smith goes number one. I don't think the Orlando Magic will risk taking another big 7-footer at number one as they have in the past. And, you know, the one for me, though, and let's just stay Australian for a little while, Dyson Daniels, Bendigo kid from down here in Victoria, who's been exceptional in the G League this year. Very, very strong male that he'll be picked in the top 10. So we'll have two top 10 NBA draft picks in consecutive years, which is just another sign of how well basketball is going here in Australia and the type of talent we're producing.
Before we let you go, Chris, I noticed during the NBL finals, I should say, Josh Giddey had tweeted that Xavier Cook should be in the NBA. Is he good enough?
I think he's talented enough. I just think the one part that he's missing is his ability to shoot the basketball. And that sounds like it is such a big element. But if Xavier Cook's committed to finding someone like an Andrew Gaze or someone they've got up at the Kings to literally rep and rep and rep his jump shot so that he's able to shoot an NBA three, I think he's every chance. But it's really, really difficult to get a shot if you're not a consistent three-point shooter when you are Xavier Cook's size, because there is that level of athlete everywhere you look over there. But I hope he gets a shot. There are exceptions to the rule, like Draymond Green, and if he can model his NBA tilt at a guy like Draymond Green, he might be a chance. But I would, if I was a betting man, well, I am, I think we'll see him back in the NBL next year.
Yep. Now, the Sporting Globe, of course, the place to watch the NBA playoffs, the NRL and the AFL, of course, Fletchy. Tell me this. I read this and my eyes lit up, Chris Anstey. They've got this triple-double burger. Tell me, is that what three patties and two slices of cheese? How is that thing constructed?
It is just incredible. It is your perfect thing to go. It's exactly what you want to eat when you're sitting watching a game and you grab a beer. And then can I tell you this? I know we're not here to talk about menus. The Golden Gay Time waffle that they've got, I never even flicked to the dessert page. I found that.
Stop it.
To do yourself a favour. It is incredible.
When you were in the US, Chris, we went to the US about 3 years ago, and I was astounded talking about waffles, that the Americans have fried chicken with their waffles, and I'm not going anywhere near it. Mm. I tried it,
love
and it.
It
was unbelievable. Yeah. What two worlds does that mix and just become perfection?
You know what? I still don't know who didn't let chicken be a breakfast food. I can eat steak or chicken for breakfast. I'm good with that. Put the waffles with any type of meat, I'm good.
Like you, Chris.
In-N-Out Burgers. Did you go there with us?
Yeah. Oh. And ask for the... you got
to go. The double-double order.
No, the animal one. You ask for the animal menu, and that's the secret menu.
Right.
The Yanks just do it better.
Yeah, they do. They do. Good on you, Chris. Thanks,
thank you,
mate. We can't wait to share a triple-double burger with you down at the Sporting Globe, the place to watch NBA playoffs, NRL and AFL. Thank you, mate.
Thanks, boys.